Well, good morning and welcome to worship at Grace United Church. It's June 21st, and we're glad that you've taken the time to come and worship with us this morning. It's going to be a great service. Lots of things are going to happen. And today, we're celebrating a couple of things. One is, this is Father's Day, traditionally. And so we're celebrating the role that fathers play in our households. And I'm also going to be talking about challenging words. What do you do with those words in the scriptures that are really tough, that are really hard? And it's easy to want to kind of gloss over them. And I want to talk a little bit about the words that are challenging, and you'll hear more about that as we go along. Today, we're also celebrating communion. So during the first hymn, if you don't have a little piece of bread and some juice, please take the opportunity at that time to go and get a little piece of bread and juice, so that we can celebrate together, even though we're in different homes, the communion and the Lord's Supper. So please be aware of that. So lighting the candle this morning is Bev Templer. Light is a source of comfort and strength in our lives. And we light this candle this morning to remind us of the comfort and the strength that Christ brings to us. And as this candle continues to shine and glow within our sanctuary this morning, may you be aware that as we are not alone here in the sanctuary at Grace, neither are you alone at home. So Bev is going to lead us in the call to worship, and she'll read the parts marked L. And you and I, as members of the worshiping community this morning, will do the parts that are marked P.
We live in a world filled with many people searching for a path that will lead us into a deeper experience of life.
Within the Christian faith, we have one named Jesus who calls us from the many ways that distract us to come and explore the path of truth and life.
Through the symbols of bread and wine, we come face to face with the mystery and marvel of the Lord's Supper.
It is within the celebration of this special meal that we encounter the bread of life that feeds our deepest needs.
It is the taste of wine that we embrace the wonder and blessings of our generous God.
In this time of sharing with each other, may we encounter the wonder of worship and be drawn mysteriously into a new awareness of the eternal and the one who loves us that will not let us go.
Let us pray together.
God of wonder, love, and light, in moments of worship, we have the opportunity to glimpse the mystery of your love and presence. In ways we do not fully understand, we encounter the warmth of your care and are reminded that within the journey of life, we are not alone. On this morning, as we celebrate communion with our community of faith here at Grace and in each of our homes, may we realize the unity of your Spirit, one with each other and all believers everywhere. We are mindful of the ways that we wander from the path of Christ. It is so easy for us to focus upon ourselves and to cling to our possessions and trust in them for security. Remind us once again of the grace that we have in Christ that offers the possibility of new beginnings and pathways of faith. Encourage us in the realization that you never stop inviting us to draw closer to you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is This Is God's Wondrous World. And it's a very appropriate hymn as we look around us and we see the beauty of creation. And all the trees that are out now in full bud and the flowers that are growing. And we give thanks to God for the gift of creation. So let us join together in this hymn. All right, well, this morning, as I mentioned earlier, this is Father's Day. And we live in a world that is very unique and different today. We live with families that have dads and things go really well. There are other families where dad is not around and mom plays the role of both dad and mom. But we recognize fathers and the roles that they play in our life. And I have a video clip here that I want you to watch. It's kind of a little interview of some young kids who are asked some questions about their dad. And so as the questions are being asked to these little kids, I want you to think about some of the things that connect with your dad.
What makes your dad happy?
Hugs and kisses from me.
That I love him.
His family, Jesus.
Well, bowling, I think that would help.
What makes your dad sad?
If I don't obey him.
When I splash all the water around.
What is your dad's favorite thing to do?
Go to Starbucks.
Play pillow fights.
If we go like somewhere special like Disneyland or something.
How old is your dad?
3, 5, 68.
How tall is your dad?
Well, I'll go with like 8'12" or something.
20 inches.
What does your dad do for a job?
My dad's a police officer. He protects people.
He works hard so that way we can get money to buy toys for our birthday.
What do you and your dad do together?
Sometimes we would have like a date together.
We fight and wrestle.
Snuggle when it's nighttime.
What's your dad really good at?
Lego Star Wars.
Cooking.
Tickling me because he's like so good I can almost throw up.
In what ways are your dad and God the same?
My dad and God love me and they're both big.
God helps me make the right choices, and Daddy helps me make the right choices sometimes, too, because he gives me a warning.
How do you know that your dad loves you?
He tells me.
It's because he's been with me all my days, and he's never left me.
Sometimes he hugs me and kisses me, and sometimes he says it to me.
He's honest with me. He's, well, I can tell that he really loves me.
I love you, Daddy.
Happy Father's Day.
All right, well, I hope that this is a day, if you have a dad, that you express your thanks for the things that dads do for you. And if there's no dad around, I want you to give a great big hug to mom or grandma, whoever's looking after you, and just thank them for the love that they have given to you. All right, so time to go to the COVID wall. Here we go. So our wall is continuing to grow, which is wonderful. So thank you for those who have been sending things in and keep sending things in. I have some pictures I want to show you that are up a little further on the wall that you won't be able to see as well. But this is a picture of one of the kids in our congregation. And one of the youth was lighting candles and said that when I light candles, it just reminds me about God's presence and God's love, which is a really neat thing. I have another picture. It's a little bit of a comic or a joke about the COVID, and it's two ants talking together. And the one ant says, "Dad, why don't we get COVID virus?" And the answer is, "Because we have antibodies." That's a bit of a groaner, but it's good to keep humor going in times of stress and strain. And then I have another picture to show you, which is a picture of an Afghan that one of the grandmas in our congregation made for her granddaughter. And the granddaughter asked for a rainbow quilt, and grandma put this together, and so it's a wonderful sign and symbol of hope. And we talked about that last week. And then the very last thing is a writing that's entitled Lockdown. and was written by one of the members of the clergy. And it just speaks about all the challenges of that. But I love the way he ends it. He says, "The sky is clearing and spring has come, and we are always encompassed by love. Open the windows of your soul, and though you may not be able to touch across the empty spaces, just sing." And so it's a great reminder that when we have to face the limitations, and although some of those are coming off, it's an opportunity to be mindful of the beauty of the world and to sing and thank God. So thank you, and keep these coming. I have one more that I forgot to mention, and it's over on the far side here, and we've hung it on the wall here, and it's actually a lathed and wood piece that expresses communion. Has the cross, it says Jesus here, and has the cup and the bread, which is very appropriate today because we are going to celebrate communion. And this was made by Carol and Ross Allen, and so it's a wonderful symbol of God's love and the Lord's Supper that strengthens us each week. As always, we have the opportunity to listen to the band, and they're singing a song called "The Radical Love of God." So join along with us, or just listen and enjoy the message and the music for "The Radical Love of God." Well, as always, there are three scriptures up on the screen. In the book of Genesis from the 21st chapter, we have a great story about Hagar and Ishmael. Hagar was the Egyptian servant of Sarah. And when Sarah couldn't become pregnant and have a son, she got her husband to sleep with the servant so that they would have a son that could carry on the lineage. And so Ishmael was born. But then, as we talked last week, Isaac was born, and then Sarah didn't like the fact that Ishmael was still around. And so this is a story where Ishmael is told, and Hagar told to leave the camp. In Romans, the 6th chapter, the first 11 verses, Paul here is talking about sin and trying to overcome sin. As I've mentioned in the past, sin is not something we're sort of familiar with today. But sin is really selfishness. It's living just totally for yourself and not worrying about what God wants, not worrying about what other people want, just living the way we want to live, and to heck with everybody else. And Paul is talking about how Christ helps us to overcome that temptation and live for others and live for God. Bev is going to read those two for us, and I'm going to read from Matthew's Gospel, the 10th chapter, verses 24 to 39.
Genesis 21, verses 8 to 21. The child grew and was weaned, and on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that slave woman's son will never share and the inheritance with my son, Isaac." The matter distressed Abraham greatly, because it concerned his son. But God said to him, "Do not be so distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the maidservant into a nation also, because he is your offspring." Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down nearby, about a bow shot away, for she thought, "I cannot watch the boy die." And as she sat there nearby, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. And from the book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of our Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus.
So I'm reading from Matthew's Gospel, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 24th verse, and reading through to the 39th verse. And this is a passage that speaks about what Jesus is saying to the disciples as they're about to go out and share the good news in the various communities. This is what Jesus said. Students are not greater than their teacher, and slaves are not greater than their master. Students are like to be like their teacher, and the slaves are to be like their master. And since I, the master of the household, have been called the prince of demons, the members of my household will be called by even worse names. But don't be afraid of those who threaten you, for the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. What I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when daylight comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops to all, for all to hear. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are counted. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son and daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give your life for me, you will find it. Here end these words for this day. As we have listened to these stories, may they stimulate our faith, may they help us to grow in our spiritual walk, and may they help us to be aware of God's love and God's care. Amen. Well, our music ministry this morning is provided to us by Paul and Paul, two gentlemen in the congregation. And I thought it was appropriate on Father's Day to have these two men of the congregation to play for us. One Paul is on the piano, that's Paul Tessier, and Paul Gray is going to be on the flute. And so sit back and relax and enjoy this duet. Thank you. Well, Bev is going to come now, and she's going to share in the pastoral prayer.
Loving God, parent and companion, we come before you now in this time of quiet prayer. We ask you to be present with us, that we will know and feel your love as we lift and praise your name. Help us set aside our worries of this day and focus only on you. We thank you for this opportunity to be united in heart, mind, and spirit this morning. Whether here in your sanctuary, at home in a comfy chair, or perhaps at a lakeside cottage. Wherever we are, Lord, we thank you for your spirit within us, which allows us to be together yet apart. You are with us in our times of joy and celebration, in our trials and troubles, in the midst of tough times. And we thank you for being there through all our life's experiences. On this Father's Day, we celebrate and thank you for all those who have nurtured and cared for us. We ask for your blessings upon our fathers and those who are role models for fathers in our lives. Teachers, coaches, grandfathers, uncles, brothers, single moms who both mother and father their children. Sunday school teachers and ministers. Give them patience, understanding, and unconditional love for those to whom they are in relationship with. But we know that you, O God, are the Father of us all and love us more than we can begin to understand. You call us to be your people, O God, yet we don't always act in a way that is pleasing to you. We have failed and doubted this past week. We have not recognized an opportunity placed before us to reach out and help another. We've forgotten you, Lord, because we've thought more about ourselves, what we want, and what is convenient for us. Please forgive us, Lord. Encourage and uplift us to change our thinking and our ways, to be better disciples of your love and care. We are grateful for the many blessings you give us every day, for the warm days of summer now upon us, for the love of our family and friends, for comfy beds to sleep in and plenty of food to fill us. We thank you for the privilege of living in a free world, for the right to worship you without fear. We thank you for your grace, loving God, through which we can do things we never thought possible and reach heights we never thought we could reach. We are so richly blessed. As we think about the events of this past week in our country and in our world, Lord, our minds are troubled. We struggle with questions that seem to have no answers, problems that have difficult solutions. We don't understand why things are the way they are, why our world is divided with people who are at war with one another through words or guns and killing. We pray for all who suffer, Lord, and ask that they will know the power of your love and healing touch. Help us to trust more fully, even when we don't understand. We offer our prayers for all who are homeless and hungry, addicted and abused, and those who feel the need to be bullies and put others down. Comfort them and give them the courage and strength needed to face their situations. Help them to know that you are there to walk with them, that they are not alone. And give us courage to speak out about our faith and to teach others about your love, to lead by example. Help us to show them a different path, one of goodness and hope. We think of those who are sick and dying, unable to be comforted by their loved ones, for those in our long-term care facilities who have been alone through this pandemic and don't understand why. For our government leaders, we ask that your divine wisdom be with them in their decision-making. Bless the work of our medical staff and researchers who are working tirelessly on this COVID challenge. Give them strength and stamina to continue to do their life-saving work. We pray, loving God, for the needs of our church and for our own personal cares and hurts. We ask for your touch, gentle God, for the assurance that you are with us, that you know and you care. Be with our church leaders as they make decisions that will strengthen our ministry here at Grace and in our community, so that we may minister in ways that truly make a difference in the lives of all people. Wondrous God, we ask that you prepare our hearts and minds for Lyle's message today, and help us to see you and your love as we celebrate communion. May we be strengthened as we share the bread and wine, renewed in faith, ready to go out and serve you. Heavenly Father, your love is all-encompassing, never-ending, and always forgiving. You are our hope in this world, and it is in this hope that we live, move, and have our being. May we continue to grow in faith, compassion, and love, to be the people you want us to be, to follow where you lead, and be agents of your love with all whom we meet. We ask this in the name of Christ our Lord, as we say together the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be
thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Well, the next hymn we're going to sing is a hymn that comes from the long-distant past. If you were a child in Sunday school in the 50s and the 60s, you will have remembered this song or this hymn. It's one of the children's hymns. It's called God Sees the Little Sparrow Fall. It's not in our hymn book, so you're going to have to take the words off the screen. So please join us in this hymn. Well, this morning I'm going to talk to you a little bit about challenging words. And it's from this passage I read from Matthew's Gospel, the 10th chapter, verses 24 to 39. Sometimes when we read the scriptures, we bump into these passages that just make our heads spin. And when we read them, we say to ourselves, did Jesus really say that? And in this passage, Jesus is trying to prepare the disciples to go out on their first ministry work. And he tries to prepare them. And he really tries to help them by being aware of what kind of resistance they're going to encounter. And he says, a student is not greater than the teacher. And he says, they didn't like me, and they're sure to goodness not going to like you and what you're going to say to them. He goes on, he says, don't be afraid of those who can kill your body. And then he says, I haven't come to bring peace, I've come to bring a sword. And then he said, if you love your mother or father or your brothers and sisters or your children more than you love him, you're not worthy to be his. And so when we read these, we go, really? Is that what really Jesus meant to try to encourage the disciples? You know, if it'd be today, we'd be trying to encourage them all in a positive way. But Jesus wanted them to know that when they go out and try to share their faith, there's going to be obstacles, there's going to be challenges, and he prepares them so they will be not caught off guard. Well, what do these words mean today? Is it really true that we're not to love our children more than we love Christ? And of course, Jesus is trying to help the disciples and us realize that our children and our friends and our parents are with us for our lifetime here. And of course, we're called to love them. But the deeper love that each of us is called toward is that love of God or the love of Christ, because that's the love that is eternal. There'll come a day when we won't have parents anymore. There'll come a day when our children will not be part of our physical life because we've moved on. And the sustaining and the deep love that we have for God is what really calls us to our ministry and to the desire to reach out and share the good news. At Grace, our vision, as hopefully most of you know by now, is symbolized by this object and this logo, and it's a picture of a dove that is beginning to take flight. And in the center here is the cross, which reminds us about Christ, and we're called to move and go into the community with the name of Christ. And we're to engage the community. And when we talk about engaging the community, we're not just simply talking about being nice to them, you know, waving to our neighbors as we're walking the dog or they'd come by. We're called to take the message of Christ out into the community, into our families, and into our neighborhoods and throughout the world. And the number 167, I hope you know by now, and just tell me what you think it is. All right, if you've forgotten, it's the 167 hours that you're not at Grace in worship. And it's to remind us that we're called to be involved in this ministry throughout the week, every hour. And so I want to talk about the difficult words. The first thing I want to say is there is a cost involved in following Jesus, and that's what Christ wanted to help the disciples understand. That you cannot be part of the Christian church, you cannot take the message of love out into the community without bumping into some people who are going to be offended by it. And there's always a cost if you want to be involved in the ministry of Christ. And one of the places today where it costs us is in time. We are called, as the vision logo suggests, to be involved in ministry all the way through the week, not just on Sunday morning, not just coming and serving on committees or singing in the choir or playing in the band, but we're to be involved in the ministry of the good news all the way through the week. And so that takes some of the time out of each day. I found an interesting graphic here, and someone did some research about how a typical person who lives 70 years will spend their time. And it's incredibly fascinating. If you live to 70, so some of you may have already reached that point, If you live to 70, 23 of those 70 years, you're going to spend sleeping, which is 32.9% of the time. You'll work for 16 years, or 22%. You'll do screen time, so television, and for the younger generation, on computers and phones, for 8 years. You'll eat, it'll take 6 years to eat in the 70 years. Travel, 6 years. Leisure, 4.5 years. Illness, 4 years. Dressing, it'll take you 2 years just to dress yourself every day. And the interesting one that I found is your faith or religion is a half a year in total over 70 years. That's 0.7% of your life talking about and sharing your faith. It's an incredibly staggering thought when you think about time and how Jesus is calling us to be ready to provide and the cost of our time during the week in order to share the good news. And so the challenge becomes, how do you carve out your week? How do you make time? You see, when Jesus talks about the cost of discipleship or the cost of following, he's suggesting that once you decide you're going to follow, everything has to change. And so the way that I dole out my time, everybody gets 24 hours. Nobody gets 24 and a half or 26 hours. Everybody gets 24 hours. And so the question is, how are you going to use part of that time to share the good news and engage the community? It's a great, huge question for the church people today. The second is lifestyle choice. As a Christian, we're called to decide on a lifestyle choice that is congruent with what we believe. There's all temptations out there. You'll see them on the television, on the radio, and your computer, of all different parts of life that are trying to challenge you to upgrade, to live differently, you know, to travel more, to get bigger homes, to buy more expensive cars, to do all these things. And what they're trying to do is get your resources financially so that their companies will grow. And it's easy to get sucked into that. And the Christian is called to say, what kind of a lifestyle am I going to live that is humble, that is mindful of the way Christ calls me to live? And so what that might mean is we don't upgrade the kitchen. We don't buy a brand new, you know, $90,000 car. We buy a used car for $15,000 or $20,000, and we give our money to the poor and the people that are in need. And there's many of us in the Christian church that just get caught up in the culture of our day, and we just want to have what everybody else is having. More trips and fancier cars and new cars. And Christ really calls us, if we're going to follow, it's going to cost us. It costs us in our time, it costs us in our lifestyle. And thirdly, it costs us in the way we manage your financial resources. This is a really challenging topic. And everything that you receive financially is given to you by God. In fact, everything in life is a gift from creation. There's not one thing I'm looking at right now, there's not one thing if you look around your house that doesn't come from creation. You know, ores that are taken from the earth and refashioned into cutlery and dishes and lamps and all those different things still come from the earth. They are a gift that comes from God. And all of our finances come from God. And the Christian faith talks about the tithing or the giving of 10% of our income for the spreading of the good news and the nourishment of the church. And that's an interesting challenge for you and for me as we try to realize that there's a cost in following Jesus. Well, the other thing I want to say is that following Christ is worth the price. A lot of people would question that. They say, oh, I'd rather have the holiday than live without the holiday and give to the poor. But When you develop a mature Christian faith, you realize it's not what you get. It's what you're able to give that makes a difference in your life and that lifts your spirituality and deepens and matures your faith. The first thing is your involvement with something bigger than yourself. That's one of the payoffs when you're involved with the ministry of Christ. You realize that you're connected and involved in something that is grander than just yourself. You know, if you live just for yourself or just for your family, you know, there's positive things and there's times when we certainly want to do that. But if that's all you're living for, life will become dull. And that's why often people want to have more and more is because their life gets drab. And so, you know, they go for another trip and it gives them a spike in energy and a spike in enjoyment. But when they come back, the energy is still low again. But when you're connected in the ministry of Christ, you realize you're involved in something that is way bigger than yourself. And when you realize that, it brings strength, it brings satisfaction and contentment into your own life. And when you're involved with the ministry of Christ, you're serving others. And when you're serving others that are poor, it really helps you realize that you have an important role to make a difference in the lives of others. And when you do that, there is this great quiet satisfaction. And in fact, there is what I call encountering a sense of deep joy. And this deep joy is not throwing hands up in the air and laughing and celebrating. It's just realizing that what I've done when I went to the One Roof Diner and fed the people who are poor, when I've been involved in the collective kitchen ministry, when we're involved in Honduras, we just have this sense that this time there, the costs of our time, energy, and finances have made a difference. And it's this deep satisfaction that I know I have done what Christ has called me to do. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to walk the path of Christ, to be aware that Jesus does call us and that Jesus wants us to experience a rich life that doesn't come in satisfying my own needs, but by looking after myself and then having the opportunity to reach out and engage the community of Peterborough and throughout the world. And when we do that, we realize just how much God has blessed us. All right, so there's some announcements that I want to bring to your attention. The first one is about the reopening. I sent a email out this week, and those who are not on email, you'll get a letter this coming week, letting you know that the board made the decision to stay closed as far as worship is concerned until September. And that's just to ensure that all the health and safety of our congregational members. There's lots of restrictions if you want to open up as a church, but one of the things that they discourage is having no children's ministry, and so we just decided that because of the refurbishing project that's going to happen, hopefully during the summer months, we're going to stay closed. You're going to get the video link each week, and hopefully you'll connect with that and stay tuned with the ministry of Christ at Grace. Faith stories are coming out tonight. It's the last time for the faith stories. We were looking at 50 different stories, and so this week will be the final one. And the Zoom meetings are continuing, and we're going to look at a very interesting topic this week called Why Does God Allow Suffering? And so if you're not part of the Zoom meetings, just let me know and give me your email, and I'll send you an invitation. And then just to be aware of the financial support that we need, and we continue to try to live out our ministry of Christ, not only in the congregation, but to the community and people in our world. And then the COVID wall, keep it going. We are building a great wall. It's a wonderful symbol of hope, of encouragement and strength. And there's two final comments I want to make, and one is to thank Bruno. And Bruno has been our tech guy for our worship service, and he has is no longer going to be able to do that because of other things that are happening in his life. And so I do want to thank him for all the weeks and the whole year that he's been involved in the ministry of Christ. And we still expect Bruno to stay tuned and, And so we'll keep him on the hook and maybe get him engaged in some other ways. And the very final thing is to let you know that on the board meeting last Tuesday, I handed in my notice of retirement from the Ministry of Christ at Grace here. And on December the 30th, this year, 2020, I will be retiring after 35 years working in this place and touching the lives of many, many people. I would never have guessed 35 years ago when I came on November the 1st, 1985, that I would have stayed my entire career here in Peterborough at Grace. But it's been a wonderful journey. We've done some amazing things as a congregation. We've tried to be faithful to the good news and to get beyond the walls and reach out and make a difference in the lives of others. And I want to thank all the people of Grace, both past and present, because there's lots that I've buried over the 35 years, but all the people, past and present, who have really made a difference and have really been a blessing to the ministry of Christ here at Grace. And so there's sadness about leaving, but there's still some great strength within our congregation. And I look forward to listening and hearing in the community of all the wonderful things that Grace is going to be doing. So you're going to get a letter from the transition team that has been appointed, and they're going to be looking after things in the shift and the changes. And so please be aware of that, be supportive, be prayerful. That's the most important thing in change. When change comes, you want to pray and ask God to maintain that strength, maintain the love and the connection that we have with God through Christ. So we're going to prepare for communion. And so if you haven't got your little piece of bread or your juice, please go and do it. We're going to sing the hymn 466, Eat This Bread. It's one verse, but we're going to sing it twice at the beginning before communion and then once after. The gift of the Lord's Supper is one of the greatest gifts that God has given us. It happened for the very first time in the upper room when Jesus gathered with his disciples. And after they had worshiped and celebrated their faith, Jesus sat at table with them. And then he took some bread and he broke the bread and he said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Whenever you do this, remember me." And then he took some wine and he poured it into the chalice. And he said, "Behold, this is my life's energy, my blood, which I pour out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink this, remember me." And so this morning we have the opportunity to be united in our celebration of communion this morning. And you may be on the back porch, in your living room, in the kitchen, or some other room in your house. And when we consume the bread and the wine, we're mindful of the life of Christ and all that he has taught us, all that he represents, and the way he encourages you and I to continue to move out into the communities and to share the good news. So the body of Christ is broken for you. Behold, this is the blood, or the life force and energy of Christ, that is given for you. Let us join together in prayer. Loving God, we thank you for the gift and the mystery of communion. For it is in these simple elements of bread and wine that your Spirit comes to us and renews us in a deep way. It touches the center of our being and reminds us of your love. It reminds us of your care. And it encourages us to be your disciples today. We pray that as each day passes, that the faith and the spiritual life of each person will grow. And we thank you that even in this time when we cannot worship in this sanctuary, we can celebrate communion in each of our homes. It reminds us that we're not alone. It reminds us we are connected with one another as members of Grace Church in the worshiping community. And it reminds us that we never have to live in fear. So as we move from this place, and as we finish this time of worship, grant us the blessing of your ongoing care and presence. And may it lift us, encourage us, and strengthen us to be yours. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. I invite you to sing now the last time through this same song, Eat This Bread. Well, I hope that as you've worshiped and celebrated with us this morning and shared in the Lord's Supper, that it has been a source of strength and encouragement to you. As you go from your place, as you continue your life's journey, may you be aware that God is near. Even the times when you feel lonely and when you're down, you are not alone. That God is with you, and you want to tap into that awareness so that it will give you strength and courage to move in the future. And so may the blessing of God and the strength of Christ and the fellowship of God's Spirit be with each and every one of you this day and all days. Amen. A choral blessing is on the screen.